Tango Tango Papa 1707, January 11, 2013.
Have we seen the actual reality of a monstrous crime? Or merely an illusion, the product of a tortured brain?
Good afternoon, good evening, Tom Wiles here with you, coming to you this evening from, I guess I would be at Gary, Indiana. So, let's see, I unloaded early this morning in Chicago, where I was able to spend the night at the place where I was to unload this morning. So I unloaded there, and then they already had me plan on a load that picked up in Milwaukee. Early this afternoon, and so I was able to get out of there and got up into Wisconsin and was able to get the trailer washed out pretty quick and got something to eat, and then I was able to get on up to the place there in Milwaukee. Now, it is actually the same place that I was at the week prior. I believe a week ago Friday, I was loading at the same place, and the load ends up going to the same place. It delivers to Danville, Virginia, Monday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern time. So I've had the rest of today, and then I've got the rest of the weekend to go the rest of the distance. So I made it down here to Gary, and I decided I would just stop and get something to eat and what have you, and just stop right here because there was really no point in continuing to drive. So I figured this was as good a place as any to stop. It used to be a Flying J, and they converted it into a Love's truck stop, and so that's where I have stopped at. And then so tomorrow, I've still got, for the rest of the weekend, I've got approximately 750 more miles to drive Saturday and Sunday. And so I'll kind of break that up so that, I don't know exactly how far I'll go tomorrow, but I'll just kind of roughly break it in half, or, it just depends. Or I might go a bit farther, who knows. But so in any case, should be able to easily be there by Monday morning, or I'll get there Sunday evening actually. And there, the place where the load delivers actually has parking out on the street, which is a good thing. So because there's a little pilot truck stop a couple of miles up the road from where the load delivers, but they've got they might have parking for maybe 25 trucks at the most. It's really, their parking is really limited, so you don't even want to try to park in there in the daytime, let alone at night or, anytime else. So, but as I say, fortunately, there is a place I can park on the street, at the place, out in front of the place where the load delivers. That's what I was able to do, a week ago Monday. So, before I go on, I want to talk a bit about GoToMyPC from Citrix. Let's see here. For many of us, so much of our jobs are tied to our office computers, network, special programs, important files. You feel chained to the office just to be productive. Good news, there's a better way. Use GoToMyPC, the secure remote access tool from Citrix that turns any computer, tablet, or smartphone into your office computer. With GoToMyPC, you can access your entire network, use any program, save, edit, send any file from anywhere. You'll never forget a file or carry a flash drive again. It's the freedom to work wherever and whenever you need to. Plus, GoToMyPC is simple to use and sets up in minutes. My listeners can try GoToMyPC free for 30 days. Visit GoToMyPC.com, click on the Try It Free button, and enter the promo code PODCAST. Then download the free app to your mobile device. That's GoToMyPC.com, Try It Free, promo code PODCAST. And so that takes care of that. So I've kind of been continuing on my news fast, deliberately kind of avoiding any sort of news, you know, and for a long time I've been kind of, you know, you could almost say compulsive about looking at news headlines, and especially with the different apps on the phone and tablets and what have you. It is just so easy to, and then of course email as well. I end up with a lot of emails. I'm on a lot of lists where they're sending news headlines and news blurbs via email. And I've pretty much just been avoiding all of that. Now I still get a little bit of bleed over. You know, if I look at the email, I'll end up seeing some headlines, but pretty much deliberately avoiding those. And then I end up with friends or relatives starting to tell me about news stories. Or, can you believe such and such? Nah, don't want to hear about it. You know, the world is, you know, the real problem, again, the problem is not the leaders, per se. The problem is us. Why can we, you know, if someone is able to lead you astray, is it the person that's leading you astray, is it their fault that they're leading you astray, or is it your fault for being, someone can lead you astray? So in other words, if someone cons you, you know, and usually the con always works the same way. When you get conned, it's always either something you want to believe, you're going to get something for nothing, or it's too good to be true. There's always something there that sort of, if you get conned, there's something wrong with your ego that made it happen. And oftentimes, if you get conned, it's blatant. An objective person can look at that and say, you're crazy. Why do you believe this? Why are you doing this? There's a dishonesty, because your ego, if you have an ego problem, inherent in that there's a dishonesty. You're lying, you want to be lied to. You're lying to yourself, and you want to be lied to. You want someone to tell you, you know, basically you want to believe that someone, you know, is telling you that you're wonderful, kind of the used car salesman that's acting like your long-lost friend, to pick something out of the air. You want to believe that person really likes you, and he really, you know, he really thinks highly of you, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so you kind of open yourself up to his suggestion, his or her suggestion, because it could be a her just as easily. In fact, it's often a her, just, you know, depending on the situation. So we are the problem. You know, if you're immune, if, you know, let's say that, you know, there's bacteria everywhere, you know, using a different analogy. There's bacteria, we live in a sea of bacteria. You know, and when I was in eighth grade, and I've talked about it a bunch of times, but we did this experiment where we had these, you know, they had the glass Petri dishes, and there was nutrient in them, you know, and ran through a sterilizer, so that as long as the teacher put the nutrient in there and then put the lid on there, sealed the lid on there, and ran it through the sterilizer. Well, he gave each one of us, he gave us, or I think we were broken down into groups, but he gave us each group two Petri dishes, you know, and they were sealed and they had the nutrient in it. And to show us that, you know, to demonstrate to us, because it's one thing, you know, the teacher could have said, well, there's bacteria everywhere, But he had us demonstrate it to ourselves. And so what we did, what he had us do, we took the lid off of one of the Petri dishes, and this was kind of a sugar solution that was in the Petri dish that had been sterilized. We took the lid off and put it back on. And it was just off for a second or two. The lid was off for just a period of seconds. Put the lid back on, check back later, and then the control one, of course, the lid was left sealed on there. And in a few days, I think it was, you know, I don't remember exactly what the time period was, but it was a day or two or something like that. You could look. You didn't even have to take the lid off of the one that the lid had come off of and had been exposed to air. You could look at it. You could see in there, and you could see stuff growing in that sugar solution. It was kind of a gel type stuff. You know, it wasn't a liquid. It was more of a gel type nutrient sugar solution. But you could see little white things growing in that solution. And all it had been done, it was just exposed to the air. And of course, the one that the lid had stayed on and it had been sterilized, nothing happened with it. It was the control. And so right there was the proof that there are germs in every square inch of air, every square inch of every surface, there's germs. In your ordinary, you know, just in an ordinary environment, there's germs everywhere. Now, we live in just a sea of germs. We're breathing germs constantly. Germs, viruses, they're everywhere. They're in our bodies. But if we have a functioning immune system, it's not a problem. No problem. It's like they don't even exist. Those germs, those viruses, it's as if they don't exist. If your immune system is functioning correctly, it's as if they don't exist. It's just a kind of an invisible mist, and it just parts. You walk through it, and it's like it's not there. But if you've got a problem, if you've got a problem with your immune system, then, you know, the classic thing is like a person that has like AIDS, where their immune system is being essentially destroyed, then every little germ that a normal immune system would be able to fight off, suddenly it becomes a deadly infection. And any little germ can kill those people, you know, if their immune system is compromised. So if your immune system is compromised and the germ kills you, is it the germ's fault or is it your immune system? Why is your immune system compromised? There's obviously a problem with your immune system. It's not the germ's fault. The germ is the germ. And so what's happening, there are always people that want to take over the world. There are always would-be tyrants. There are always people that are waiting in the wings to take over the world. People make fun of, you know, they make jokes about it all the time. I'm going to take over the world. I'm going to run the world. People constantly make jokes about it. But there are people that really want to do it. In fact, they're under compulsion. They're under a compulsion to do it. They can't stop themselves if they wanted to. They cannot stop themselves. There are people that are possessed with evil, you know, to varying degrees. Maybe they like it, maybe they don't. But they're slaves. They cannot stop themselves. You know, you want to talk about how bad Obama is or how bad Pelosi is or so on. They cannot stop themselves. Even George Soros, he cannot stop himself. He is not his own person. None of them are. They're possessed. They're possessed with evil. Evil runs them, whether they want to admit it or not. And so they're simply taking advantage. They're like a germ. They're like an opportunistic infection. They're simply infecting, because something is infectable. People are infectable. So we come into this world wanting to play God in our own mind. We have this proclivity as human beings. We've got this flaw where, you know, there's this idea we're born in sin, and that simply means that we have this proclivity to want to play God in our own minds, and we do it through resenting and then being proud of what we've being proud of what resentment turns us into, what it causes us to do, in other words, we become proud of our slavery to whatever it is that we're enslaved to. So we've, to varying degrees, we've all got this problem. Now, some of us seem to be happy with it. We seem to be, kind of like the stinks and the smells and whatever it is of our slavery. But there are some of us that, for whatever reason, and it's kind of a mystery why, but there are some of us that, for whatever reason, we're not happy with it. We know that something's not right. There's something wrong with the way that we exist. My entire life, I've had this question: why do I exist? What is the point of my existence? Why do I exist? I've had that has been with me for as long as I can remember, and I can't tell you why. The why of the why is a mystery. Why do I have that question? Why is that question of why do I exist? Why do I have that and other people don't seem to? And it's a mystery that I can't. That's a question I can't answer. But we come into this world with this problem, and I believe it's a deliberate fault, because we have the opportunity to be. That's where salvation comes in. We have to want to be saved. We have to really want to know the truth, and then the truth comes along. If we're really sincere, whatever that is, if we're able to be genuinely sincere and really want to know the truth, and only the truth will do, that's when salvation happens. That's really what salvation is to be saved. From that state, the state of sin. To kind of use a little religious language. Sort of dust it off and put it back in the vocabulary. So many people have they hear the word sin and they think, and they get this sort of knee-jerk reaction that it's some kind of a religious word, and and people should feel guilty and so on and so forth, and that's ridiculous. It's not what I'm talking about. And I don't even want to hear those kind of arguments. About how, well, churches, they just want to make people feel guilty so that they'll give them money and so on and so forth. And it's true. To a certain extent, there are churches that do that. And not everybody in a church is bad, although there do tend to be quite a few people that end up kind of collecting there, because it's dangerous. You end up with a false salvation. So, in this state, We have to be vigilant. We have to realize that we have character flaws. We have to be vigilant. We have to always be questioning in our own motives and looking at our own motives. Because it's easy, depending on what the appeal is, what evil's appeal is, it's easy to kind of end up getting sucked in to various things. You know, it's kind of like the people that win the lottery. You know, there's a huge percentage of them that end up with destroyed lives. The lottery literally ended up kind of destroying their lives. Why? Was it the lottery's fault? Well, not really. It was their own fault. They had character flaws. And those character flaws, you know, they were poor when they didn't have any money. There was no limited opportunity for those character flaws to sort of blossom. But then all of a sudden they have all this money. You know, money comes from the lottery. And all of a sudden, those character flaws are able to just run wild, and there's nothing to stop them, at least for a while. So they wind up dead, or they wind up with a divorce, and their family's destroyed, and so on and so forth. So what I've been doing, I've finally realized there is no political solution, you know, and I've said that for a while, but I think a lot of us continued to believe that there was, that somehow that we had this belief that would, excuse me, that we would be able to just vote the right people in. You know, kind of believing that the idea of a republic and representative republic and so on and so forth, that we could just vote the right people in and they'd put in the, stand firm and put in the right policies and we could reverse everything. Well, if that was going to work, it would have worked with Ronald Reagan. Now, what happened with Reagan? The economy got better. Maybe he was able to sort of stem the tide for a while. But the economy got better, but in the meantime, what happened? The character flaws continued. The moral decay continued. The Reagan presidency ended, and then you ended up with the rotten George W. Bush, or G.W. Bush, the first Bush. And he was no Ronald Reagan. Reagan wasn't perfect. Reagan obviously made a mistake picking Bush, the first Bush, as his vice president. So the first Bush was in there for 4 years, and then we ended up with Clinton. And then that's when it, you know, then it really started going downhill even faster. You know, Clinton, people championed Clinton because, look at him. He was able to have oral sex in the White House and lie about it. If he can do that, I don't feel nearly as bad about, you know, cheating on my wife or cheating on my husband or, you know, whatever it is people do. People were looking at him and marveling. Oh, I feel much better with someone like that at the top. So there really, you can't lead things politically. You can't lead a moral revival politically. It's not possible. And so we should, you know, I finally, you know, it's pretty graphic now. I mean, if this last election isn't graphic enough, then, you know, people aren't paying attention. Or they don't have any ability to understand. There is no political solution, and especially now where we've moved way beyond any kind of political solution. Possible political solution. So at this point, the only thing that can turn things around is some sort of moral revival. And I really don't know what starts that. People have to want it. It has to happen individually. Now, how does it happen, you know, in some people's lives? You know, they can lead rotten lives, and sometimes people will turn around. You know, sometimes you end up in the gutter, either literally or figuratively. You end up in the gutter, and that can cause you to realize, oh, well, I can't go any farther this way. This is stupid. Let's say you're a drug user or something, and you get to the point where you're practically just next to death, and then you realize, well, I can't. If I keep doing this, I'm going to die, and then you just kind of stop. Or it could be alcohol or food or whatever, and we're just now talking about addictions. But sometimes, you know, that's what it takes, at least for individuals, to get to the point where they can see the end. They're almost at the end, and then they suddenly stop. And even why someone starts to think rationally all of a sudden, that's really a mystery. Why would someone stop all of a sudden? Why would they start thinking rationally all of a sudden? It's really a mystery. So real salvation, you have to really want to be saved. You really have to want it. You know, and it's not what you think it is. People think it's some sort of an emotional experience that, you know, you go through some kind of, you recite some sign or some sort of series of words and go through an emotional experience with a preacher or with a group of people, and somehow you're saved. And no, you're not. You just had an emotional experience. Real salvation is not emotional. So there's really no point in kind of paying attention to any kind of news at this point, because it's rapidly getting worse. And it's going to continue to get worse. And we may end up in a civil war. That's a possibility. That has happened before. We've had a civil war before where hundreds of thousands of people died, and that could happen again. It could end up happening again. And it's going to be very unfortunate that if it happens, and I really don't want to see it happen, but I can tell you one thing, I'm not going to participate in it. Because you can have your war, but does a war really cause people to become moral? Maybe you can force them back to morality. I guess you could say the United States did that with Germany, forced them back to some semblance of morality, because they really went off the deep end. But when the United States goes off the deep end, who forces it back? So at this point, I'm just living my life, and things are actually better than ever. so I'm just going to live my life and be, I guess, ignorance is bliss. No news is good news, especially the news today, because it's just propaganda. We live in a sea of propaganda, and people kind of believe what they want to believe. You know, somehow it's someone else's fault. It's not their own fault, you know, that their lives are a mess. Someone else's fault, you know, and people fall into the, because they already have resentment and they won't look at themselves, they can easily get sucked in, and then they can be made to believe that, oh, it's someone else's fault. I haven't listened to Rush Limbaugh for a while, the Rush Limbaugh podcast, but I do get the daily email, and I did happen to see in one of his daily emails, he said he made the observation in the email that, you know, and I guess he'd made it in the program, and they put it in the email, saying that in the same way that black people, the majority of black people still somehow believe that, you know, even though we got rid of slavery with the Civil War, somehow they're angry, they're resentful, and they still believe that that we still have slavery. And so he said, in the same way, the lower middle class has been kind of made to believe that they used to have money and now they don't, and it's the rich people's fault. So in other words, people have resentment, and someone, you know, like Obama or whoever comes along and agitates the resentment and then points at the rich person. Oh, it's those evil rich people. They're making you poor. Well, if you have resentment, it's no one else's fault. I don't care what your thing is. If you have resentment, if you have animosity, and you're miserable because of your animosity, and believe me, you are, that's why you don't have any identity, that's why you're not your own person. It's not someone else's fault, it's your fault. And if you're miserable, if you have animosity and you're miserable, you deserve to be miserable. Sorry, I'm not going to lie to you, you deserve it. You really do. You know, and there are a lot of people that think, well, you know, it's the other people's fault. It's these other people's fault that, you know, the country's being destroyed, and the monetary system's in the process of being destroyed, and Obama's going to completely circumvent the Constitution and just ban guns, and they're going to collect them door to door, and so, you know, and of course he is. Just wait. It's going to happen. Just hang on. It'll happen. That may be the thing that sparks the Civil War. Who knows? But it's going to happen. You just wait. And now I forgot what I was going to say. I guess if it's important, it'll come back to me. But whose problem is it? Oh, I know what I was going to say. People think, well, it's not my, you know, it's happening to them, but it's unfair that it's happening to me. It's unfair that it's happening to me. I'm sorry. We are in the experiment. We did not, you know, God, you know, this earth is a petri dish. We are in the experiment. And if God wants to end the experiment in the next 5 seconds, it's perfectly just, it's perfectly right. He can end it. And because we all have character flaws, and particularly if we haven't found any real salvation, if we found just some false salvation, regardless of whether we think we found the real thing or not, we're still subject to whatever fate befalls us. What does the Bible say? It says the sins of the fathers are visited on the third and fourth generations. That's absolutely true. The sins of our fathers have been visited upon us. It passes from one generation to the next. You know, each successive generation kind of hating their parents. Looking at their, you know, kids tend to look at their parents as gods. Little kids come into the world and they tend to look at their parents as gods. And then, of course, the gods end up sorely failing them because the gods that the little kids see are, you know, in the form of their parents, you know, they're under compulsion. They're slaves. You know, and they kind of fail the kids, they're under compulsion to fail as parents, and then the kids resent that, and it comes into them, and then, you know, the thing keeps getting repeated, the cycle keeps repeating. So, anyway, I was kind of poking around on my phone, and I found out, or, you know, I knew TomTom was writing, you know, they were coming out with some apps for Android, for TomTom navigation, because they've already, for some time now, they've been available on iPhone, iPod, and so I looked, and so the TomTom is available now. They've got all of them are available. They've got different versions that are available. So I went ahead and got that for my phone. And I did that this afternoon. And so that'll be kind of handy to have because it's got the HD traffic and all that stuff. So it's basically they've kind of replicated basically, it turns your phone into the better TomTom type unit, but it's actually better than a TomTom because a TomTom can mess up. The units themselves can mess up, and if it's just an app, then it's not that bad. It's chances are it's going to work just fine as long as you periodically reboot your phone. So I was able to get that, and I was able to, since I'd already paid for the HD traffic, I was able to just log into that from the phone into the TomTom website, and I've got the traffic and the whole bit right there on the phone. So that ought to be, that puts it in a position where it's very handy, because I've always got my phone with me. And the phone is way handier to grab than even an iPad is. So did that. And also, you know, I'm still upset with Google, kind of, because they, or not Google, but Apple, for taking away the Google Maps. And, I haven't been able to, for a long time, I tried and tried and tried. I didn't really try too hard, but, I missed the street view on the iPad. And so I kind of complained to Ian, sent him, earlier today, and Ian sent a thing back, and he said, well, here's how I get the street view. And so it's what you have to do is, I knew about that you could open up the Google Maps like in Safari, but what you got to do is you have to put in a specific address, and then when you have the little push pin there, after you've put in a specific address, where it shows you the little push pin. Once it does that, I think you tap on the push pin, and then down in the lower right corner of the screen, there's a little icon, kind of an icon that's shaped like a man. And if you tap on that icon, that little man icon, then it pops up with Street View. So it doesn't really work the same way as it would in a regular like a Google Maps on an Android device, or the way it used to work on the iPad app itself, that when it had Google Maps, because you'd drop a push pin, then you could just tap on the push pin and then press if there was a street view available, you could just tap on it and then it would pop open. So that's the way it works on an Android device, but of course, since Apple took that functionality away, it doesn't work that way anymore. So you still can get the street view via the browser, but it's not quite as easy as it once was, but at least it is still available. So, but I don't know, I was looking earlier, Google, I think is... they just come out with here recently, they're about to come out with one of the two, the Google Nexus. And they've got a phone, and then they have a 7-inch version, and then a 10-inch version. And so you can get the 7-inch version if you just get the Wi-Fi 16-gigabyte model. You can get that for $199. And as I understand it, the Google Nexus has a GPS chip built into it, so it would make a nice little GPS device in and of itself, besides being a tablet. So for $199, that's not bad. So I don't know. That's cheap enough, I might buy one of those at some point. Don't really need it, but... it might be useful, who knows. Seems like Google and Apple and Amazon are all kind of trying to strangle each other. And so they're, for example, Amazon, as far as the Amazon Prime videos, they don't make an app for Android. So, for example, on my phone, there is no Prime Amazon Video app for my phone. Now, I can watch Amazon videos on my phone, but it's not real straightforward. It's not super easy. What you have to do is do it in the browser. So it can be done. I've done it. It works. but it's you know, and you make it full screen and you're able to watch it, but it's not, it's really kind of a pain to initiate it. An app makes it much easier. Of course, there is an app on the iPad. There's an Amazon Prime Video app on the iPad. And of course, what Amazon really wants you to do is to buy a Kindle. You know, you buy one of those Kindle Fire HDs and you can watch all the Amazon videos you want. Of course, there's a Netflix app for the Kindle as well, as well as the iPad. But, you know, the problem with the Kindle, there at least at this point, now it's always subject to change, there is no mapping, really, a mapping program. There's no Google Maps for Kindle, even though it's an Android device. Because Amazon has made their own version of Android, and they've kind of left the maps out. And there's no GPS chip either, by the way. So they're really not making it. They don't really care to make it a GPS device. They want to, you know, they're kind of wanting it to be a storefront and for you to watch videos on it and so on and so forth. And as I say, at this point, there really is no mapping app on there. And then, of course, Apple has, you know, they're trying to hurt Google by, you know, with coming up with their own mapping thing. And of course, there's no Street View, and the Apple satellite images suck, essentially. They're not as good as Google's. So they're all kind of, you know, the iPad at one point was, you know, it had everything, you know, it had all of it. And then Apple took the Google part away, just, you know, to try to punish Google. So, I don't know. It's, it would be tempting and it would be nice to have there, you know, like a smaller Amazon, or, you know, like a smaller tablet, a smaller Android tablet that if, you know, and especially if you could do everything on it. That would be the ideal. If they, that's what they really should do, is make it so that it's as adaptable and usable as possible. But instead, they try to make things kind of proprietary. Each one of these companies tries to make things proprietary. You know, so that if you really want to do everything, you've got to have more than one device, and that's kind of really sort of defeats the purpose. So. But, you know, at some point, it you know, it may take a while, but it'll eventually shake out. So, but I don't know, Apple, I know a lot of people still like their Apple stuff, and the Apple stuff's okay, I guess, but at this point, I would probably, I don't see myself buying any kind of Apple computer anytime soon. Of course, I, you know, the computers that I have are working just fine, the Apple machines. But also at this point, I don't see myself buying another iPod. Of course, the iPods I have work fine. Nor do I see myself buying another iPad. And of course, that works fine. So, you know, new tablets in the future probably are going to be, you know, some version of Android. And certainly, you know, the Kindle, the Amazon Kindle is an Android device, as well, certainly, as the Google Nexus. So, you know, the iPad was probably the closest to the quote-unquote perfect tablet, but Apple has kind of thrown the monkey wrench into that, and they've sort of left an opening now. They've made an opening where one really didn't exist that much. They've kind of widened the opening for Amazon and Google to kind of step in and compete with them. So, and certainly in the realm of phones, Android has trounced Apple as far as the smartphone market. Android is I don't know what the numbers are now, but Android is way ahead of them. So, anyway, I was, when I turned the computer on, I was kind of poking around, and let's see. You know, sometimes I'll send myself, you know, like on the iPad, I'll write something down, or I'll make a note for myself. And, you know, sometimes I will, if I remember to do it, you know, I'll kind of use those as a kind of a launching pad in the podcast, and sometimes I don't. And sometimes I come back and I read this stuff, and I kind of forget that I even wrote it. And so I'm gonna go through some of this stuff, and I don't know, some of it does seem to make sense, so I'm going to read through this first one. A genuine naturist or naturalist or atheist wouldn't be bothered by organized religion because they would realize that people were banding together for social or psychological support. Their active hatred of religion and God demonstrates they actually know that God is real on a fundamental level and childishly want to quote-unquote get back at him by attempting to destroy any form of religion or belief in God. To resent and be proud is to play God. The mere act of playing God in one's own mind is a tantamount admission that there is a real God, otherwise there would be no concept of God, and playing God in one's own mind would not be possible. And so that makes perfect sense to me. Of course, I wrote it. But I'd kind of completely forgotten that I'd done that. But if you think about that, it's true. Why do people, you know, the people that say, well, oh, I'm an atheist, why do they, you know, there's plenty of them, like the Richard Dawkins and so on and so forth. Why do they hate anyone that even mentions any kind of anything about God or religion? Why do they, you know, they actively hate it? You know, they're kind of going over the top. It's like the emperor has no clothes. It's like, you know, people protest too much. You know, what is that? You know, and that really is kind of a sort of a tantamount admission that there is a God. You know, because otherwise, if you weren't playing God, you know, if man was not playing God in his own mind, then we would have no concept of God. You know, it'd be kind of like an animal. You know, an animal, your dog, no matter what it does, it just follows its instincts. It can't play God, and it has an awareness. Your animal has an awareness, but it has no, it can't play God in its own mind, because it can't, you know, maybe it can feel fear, and maybe, you know, it's got rudimentary fear, and it can be angry, and so on and so forth, but your dog cannot resent. It has no ability to resent. It has no ability to have animosity. It simply is conditioned. It's just it's kind of a sophisticated set of, it's a sophisticated instruction set is basically what it is. very sophisticated instruction set. But it cannot play God. It cannot. It does not have that capacity. Excuse me. So, anyway, I thought that was kind of interesting. I sort of happened upon that, and and I kind of now I remember writing it, but I just kind of forgot about it. And so I'm always, I don't know, it's better if I, you know, if I put it in a note form and kind of send it to myself, or if I do it that way, because otherwise, you know, in the past I've written, especially when I had the logbook, I would write all these things on the logbook cover, and then kind of after a while the logbook cover would be, both sides would be completely covered, and I'd kind of end up, you know, after the logbooks were good for about, they had about 2 months worth of logs, and then they'd end up getting stored away. I'd have to take them out of the truck, and then there it went. Never to, you know, maybe, you know, they're in a pile somewhere at home. So anyway, I think I'm going to go ahead and see if I can cut this off and get it uploaded. So hope everyone had a great week. Hope you have a great weekend. And I will catch you later.
Remember, Trucker Tom is like Visa. He's everywhere you want to be.
Product reviews, restaurant reviews, photos, opinions, and more. Visit Trucker Tom's website at www.truckerphoto.com. You've been listening to Trucker Tom's podcast, and we'd love to hear what you have to say. All you have to do is send us an email to tom@truckerphoto.com.